A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the AEW Dynamite Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by another one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Dynamite. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Dynamite, but also AEW Collision, Raw, SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. Oh! Pay-per-views, premium live events, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Sidge, look ahead to Dynamite tonight and all the fallout from Big Business. I haven't actually done that as a bullet point for once.
You just did it to pop me?
Yeah.
No, I'm on whatculture.com/WWE right now. I have just published an article. And it's strange because we said when we recorded the Turning Point podcast last year, it's kind of finished for now, guys. Yeah. It'll take a while, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, for the feeling to come back. And then the Continental Classic happened. And you know, he said the quiet part loudly of put your money where your mouth is.
Yes.
It's like, all right, well, you're doing this out of spite. And the way I put it in the article, which you can read right now, whatculture.com/WWE, is kind of a playing to the gallery of, right, what is a PR tactic with which we can recover a disillusioned fan base? What's like a shortcut? What do they want? What have they asked for? What have we not been giving them? And then the easiest possible solution was do the G1.
Yes.
Let's do the G1. Like a round robin tournament, people have been fantasy booking it or trying to will it into existence since day one of the company. Let's do that. Rankings, tunnels, people like tunnels. it was all a bit, they weren't really showing and not telling, they were telling. The difference now is that they're showing, the difference now is that the trifecta has been achieved. I've never once worried about the promos and the matches, ever. Like, even during the Annus Horribilis of last year, you never were concerned remotely about match quality.
No.
They didn't do enough promos. They still don't do enough promos, but you always knew you could stick a microphone in Samoa Joe's hand, or John Moxley's hand, or Swerve Strickland's hand, or Christian Cage's hand. You know, there's countless great promos. Danielson, you know, and get magic out of it. It's the angles, it's the long-term thought, it's that luxurious sense of detail. I think it's all back. Maybe I'm jumping the gun, but it was a tentatively promising start, January, the Daily's Place, Homecoming. Then you had a really strong build to Revolution, and then it was like, right, was that a one-off? Was it all buoyed by Sting and the sentiment surrounding that? I thought the Sting Young Buck storyline was just tremendous, but was it all just sort of elevated by the legend and the emotional stakes that you can't do every week? You literally can't retire an icon every single week. And then Big Business was incredible. The WWE opening segment aside, the post-Revolution Dynamite was incredible. Collision's just a lovely, distinct show every single week. There's still some bad. The rankings have pretty much gone away again. And the idea that the BCC aren't in the tag team tournament is ridiculous. The Undisputed Kingdom are DOA. There's still the sense that the roster's too big and that you'll just give up on certain guys who don't appear that often. ROH gets in the way of the live experience, etc., etc. But it was never perfect. Nothing ever is. And for me, the vibe is as close to perfect as it's been in AEW. It really is.
Yeah, they sort of went back to basics, like you say, and alongside doing G1 adjacent stuff as well.
All a bit hollow, all a bit grabby.
But it also, you know, I don't know whether it was just because it was the new thing or they were kind of having to do this because it was the Wednesday Night Wars or what, but it felt like every week it was a TV special in terms of like, well, you have to tune in because they're going to do this. Obviously, initially, it's like, well, any match is a new match. So that's really exciting.
Yeah.
You've got these new stables and storylines and what have you. But like, the things they're doing on tonight's show are huge. And yet it doesn't feel like they're doing that, but that means that in a month's time when Dynasty gets here, they're going to kind of be scraping the barrel for other stuff to do. You've got stuff going on in the background, world title stuff, Joe, Swerve, etc. Ospreay, Danielson's already established, obviously. But you can have two title matches on tonight's show and it doesn't feel like, oh, that's kind of come out of nowhere. Like the, you know, Cage Cope 3 has been going on for months, yeah. Of course, and it makes sense to do it here. And Hamflet brilliantly explained all the lore to it as well. And I just love the idea that, no, we're not going to wait until Dynasty to say, potentially, at least, strap up Kazuchika Okada. He's here. He's connected with the right people within the company. And he's immediately going after Eddie Kingston and the Continental title.
Yeah.
It's just really exciting. And, you know, even just we hear from Mercedes Moné, okay, what's that mean? What's she going to be doing? We can speculate. We kind of know what direction it's going to be going in. But, it's really back to where it was in terms of not just us sat here going, oh, there's a match. Do you want to? It's really predictable. And it's all kind of plodding towards this show. And that's what I felt like last year.
Yeah, it was just like sludgy and uninspired.
Means to an end. The papers are going to be great and the matches are always going to be great, as you said.
Great.
As you said.
Yeah, they're great.
But yeah, I just felt completely uninspired personally by it.
Same. A lot of people did.
Let's talk the I Quit match then. We were introduced to Spike on Collision.
Yes.
Christian Cage versus Adam Copeland for the TNT title. Loser says, I quit.
Yeah, I've already done the big, I don't necessarily care that deeply about Adam Copeland analogy. You can listen to that on the Collision review. And it's much the same. Like, when I'm, you know, going about my day, or I'm on the commute, and you just, your mind just almost unconsciously sends messages and you think, oh, I'll think about that, or I'll think about this, or I'll look forward to this, or I'll worry about this. When I look forward to tonight's Dynamite, it's pretty much all centered around what Money has to say and Okada Kingston. Mm-hmm. Copeland Christian will be really good, like really, really good. They'll have thought about it.
It's
Christian Cage. To a lesser extent, in my opinion, Copeland, these guys know how to craft a match. They almost saved World's End by having one of the better matches on, like, a really, for me, uninspiring card. So it's something that is the epitome of me of, it'll be great on the night without me necessarily getting too excited about it. They've told a good story in the correct order with, you know what, a few decent twists. Like, the Garcia twist was quite good, quite refreshing, and they've obviously held off on the date for the Canada show. And on that, actually, before I get into the match, what I expect from it and the finish, have you been on WrestleTix this week?
Not this week.
So I've been on WrestleTix this week.
Well, I've heard something about this, though, yeah.
I've just followed WrestleTix, so I see this stuff, a really good resource. And I, because I lean more towards AEW than WWE, I know how to use Google as well. So what I've done is I've tracked WrestleTix and looked at the attendance. And Tony Khan himself has tweeted that he firmly expects this one to sell out to capacity. And we're looking at about 6,500 or something, which is a great number for AEW standards. It really is. It's big enough to feel big time. Mm-hmm. And more to the point, it's in one of those magic venues where even if you get 6,000 in a 18,000-seater basketball arena, combined with a set and the 6,000, as long as you effectively black out that upper bowl, you can have the nice shot. You're not just always shooting that hard cam side. You can do various tricks to make it look like the entire, you know, arena's full, even if it isn't. I'm fairly certain the Coca-Cola Coliseum has got a capacity of like 7,000.
And yeah, it doesn't look like, on picture, it doesn't look like, you know, normally they'd go like, here's this bowl that we're selling and the rest.
Yeah.
It looks, yeah.
No, it's going to be pretty much packed out, and it's a magic venue in terms of the size. If there was a venue like this, AEW should run it in. If there was a venue like this in every city, this is what AEW should be aiming for, a packed house. So what if you miss out on a few extra tickets?
Yeah.
You know, it's so much better to have 6,000 in a 7,000 seater than 3 in an 18. It's miles better. Mm. Yeah, I'd rather miss out on the ticket sales. And, you know, it's a lifestyle company. It's not necessarily WWE where they want to make every single cent because they've got shareholders who could, you know, kick off if they don't do things. If WWE did things for the love of the game, like the shareholders would say, you can't do that.
Yeah.
AEW's different. Like, you're not going to sell out 15,000 for a TV. You're just not going to do that. So do this instead. And I recall Toronto's already like one of the white hot wrestling cities, which is very encouraging for tonight. I recall Toronto and the Coca-Cola Coliseum specifically was the first ever Canadian date they ran. And I recall vividly Dave Meltzer, who's very, very business-minded, was like chewing AEW out. You know, he does actually do this. He was like giving them a bollocking basically for saying it's your first day in Canada. Run a minimum of 20,000 seater because I think this Toronto show, the last one they did, sold out really quickly and they could have done more with it. And I remember the crowd. I think it was Pac versus Orange Cassidy. If you could bring it up for me, that would be ideal. 2022... Dynamite Toronto. I think it was a great Pac Orange Cassidy match.
Debut. Here we go. Pac Orange Cassidy, Jericho Danielson 3 for the ROH World
that
title.
That was really good.
Tony Storm, Hikaru Shida versus Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. Jungle Boy versus Luchasaurus.
That was strong as well for what it was.
Daddy Ass versus Swerve. On the poster at least.
Yeah, if I recall, Jungle Boy Luchasaurus was such a hot match that you just thought, well, first of all, Jungle Boy could be a hot babyface. We saw how that turned out, but that's what the crowd and its effects had on the people watching. You just broke into a giggle.
It's just a couple of things, very emblematic of the time. Just read this from Wrestling Junkie USA Today, just running through what happened on this show. You know, like you say, I remember the Pac Orange Cassidy stuff, and then you forget some of the other stuff, like Wardlow and Samoa Joe defeated QT Marshall and Nick Comoroto.
This guy's teaming with that guy? War Joe.
Mm-hmm. Mark Sterling reveals that he and Tony Nese have trademarked the scissor me in pro wrestling. Things seem to be breaking down between MJF and Stokely Hathaway already.
Jesus Christ.
And, oh God, actually there's a couple here. Nyla Rose, we love Nyla Rose, of course, says possession is 9/10 of the law, so she's TBS champion. So I think she's nicked the belt.
Belt theft. Yep. Ugh.
And I want to know, that'll really strike a chord with you. The firm has purchased the contracts of Private Party. If Isaiah Cassidy wins, Private Party's reaping the firm. But if Ethan Page wins, the firm owns Matt Hardy's contract. Yeah, there's a button for this one.
No! 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 No!
That aside, though,
telling you, really the rot set in a long time ago.
Yes, it is. Yeah, interesting to look back there because my if someone said to me, when did it start going off the rails, I would have probably said 2023 rather than 20.
No, it was 2022 because it was in the shadow of All Out and everything that really ruined it. Like the vibe was completely screwed, even when they were doing good stuff. Anyway,
but 148 according to WrestleTix yesterday. Only 148 tickets still available. You'd presume that'd go, it already gone by now, or it'll go on walk-ups and what have you at the Coca-Cola Coliseum, or as I like to call it, the Pocahola Coliseum. Also, that reminds me, do you remember York City playing at Kit Kat Crescent back in the day?
Yes.
Bit of a flashback there.
It was a flashback.
Obviously a huge match with Copeland and Christian.
It will be really well done.
Finally, time to switch the title, presumably. I mean, they've already done it, but it was back and forth, obviously.
Yes, time to do that, and then Copeland can... I don't want to see a long title reign.
No.
We've kind of seen his interpretation of the Cope Open Challenge and the TNT Champion kind of deal. Interesting to see if he can elevate that belt, because it seems to be... the world title's a world title. You could argue it's lost its luster. I would join that argument. But underneath that, there's too many titles.
Yes.
one of the secondary titles, like, to prove that even that is a big accomplishment to get right, to underscore that there's too many titles and they do get diminished. Only one can be big at any given time, like Orange Cassidy with the International. Mm-hmm. You couldn't even recall what was going on with the TNT at that time.
No.
Now it's Eddie Kingston doing great stuff with the Continental and the TNT. Christian's done a really good job with it, but his whole deal is he doesn't really defend it or wrestle until he has to. So I think by the design of trying to generate heel heat, he doesn't really operate as a champion. He just happens to be a great TV character who has a belt. Roddy Strong hasn't done anything with the International title yet. There's far too many.
The moment you said that, I was like, who actually is the International champion for a split second?
Yeah. So now Copeland has his turn. Let's see. He could really do with elevating something around him and not just being a pleasant surprise on the night, which is what, in my opinion, Adam Copeland is right now. And that's what this match will be to circle back to. Like, Copeland knows a plunder brawl inside out. Mm-hmm. Christian Cage can craft anything. They're in Canada.
Nick Wayne can take some ridiculous bumps if neither of them fancy it.
Yeah, exactly. They will be completely up for this. I think this would be a hot match, even if it's not like one of the hottest things AEW could do. Like, it's not Ospreay, Okada, Omega, Swerve, mm-hmm. Danielson tier.
Yeah.
But I think a normal crowd would be well up for a violent match with these two in it. It's in Canada. It's going to be packed to the rafters. I think it'll be really violent. AEW has got a reputation to uphold when mm-hmm. it comes to their stips. Like, this will not, you'll probably see a kendo stick. Maybe you get a table bump. But
you've got a baseball bat covered in nails to get the juice.
And, you know, there might even be more fire stuff. We'll see. Like, they should go hog wild here.
The difficulty they have, I suppose, is, I know it's been a while. But how on earth do you, you can't top Paige Swerve, can you?
I know.
That's automatically what I think about.
Sting?
Yeah, Sting. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Actual distress in those matches. Like, a genuine sense of, is this getting taken too far? Mm. Probably, but I don't care. I'm feeling a sense of bloodlust. I think this will be a combination of, like, really good craft will elevate it, and I don't think they can hope to match the violence, especially of Swerve Page. So I'm expecting well-crafted violence where tamer spots relatively will hopefully mean just as much by the when to do things, and Cage in particular is a master of the when to do things. Copeland's going to win. Me and Hamlet have got different interpretations of what the finish will be. Obviously, Spike is going to factor in. I think that he's going to... Copeland is obviously going to have Cage beaten. Cage is not going to say, I quit. And I think that they are going to tease. Copeland's going to get Spike, drape it over over Cage's face, get a chair, with the idea being, if I do a concerto on you with Spike draped over your face or neck or whatever, I will literally drive the spikes into your head. Yeah. And then he has, oh, I quit. Hamlet, speaking on his behalf, if he won't mind, had the following to say, oh, yeah, the match will be good. No, he didn't.
Yes.
Hamlet had the following to say. He says that, what does the grindhouse? Is that what Copeland calls his crossface?
I think so.
He reckons he's going to attempt to, in much the same way he can do it with a kendo stick.
Or the bit of the chair.
Yeah. How Edge did it in the Fed. That, but with Spike and then Christian Cage. No.
So
who wins? Who wins? In your opinion, what's the finish? Have you got your own?
I'll have a think about that because I think I love both of those. The only thing I did was add on to yours. He sets up that, obviously, Christian Cage, not wanting to, you know, die. Says, I quit. And Copeland still goes, go f*** yourself, and just does it anyway. But you can't do that spot.
Not with Spike.
But, Yeah, Copeland wins. I wouldn't be surprised if Garcia comes down to kind of even the odds because it's an I Quit match, so Nick Wayne's warm.
Is in warm.
And Luchasaurus, sorry, Killswitch, could well get involved. But yeah, obviously, you just switch the title to Copeland. Like you say, I kind of want to, it's funny this, because they're going to do this and it's going to be great and bloody and what have you. And I'm going to be sat there going, can we just get to the bit where you're a tag team?
Because
I just kind of want to get to that.
I want the heel tag team.
Switch the title onto Garcia pretty quickly.
CNC, they can call themselves.
Yeah. CNC Music Factory. They're going to make you sweat.
CNC Grid Factory.
I like that. Yeah. I don't know. I bet you they're really pissed off. Not pissed off with Mark Briscoe, but just annoyed that they've done a flaming table spot in the last two weeks.
It's all the buck stops with Tony.
Because that would have been the thing I'd have bet on in terms of like.
They've already done it.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose.
Is there any other like really famous Edge plunder spot that they could pay tribute to?
Spear off a ladder. I don't know why a ladder's getting involved in this.
There wouldn't be anything for them to hang off.
Yeah. Maybe they hang Spike above the ring for no apparent bloody reason. I don't know. Or maybe like. I don't know. I don't know why he'd be on Killswitch's shoulders.
Maybe. They'd have to do a good job of it. It was a Judgment Day 2007, a One Night Stand 2007. Basically, Taker took one of the ridiculous bumps of his career when there was like four tables stacked in rows of two, and he got tipped from the ladder. The only thing is, it was like, I know what's happening here 5 minutes before it does. They'd have to be a bit more clever if they wanted to pay tribute to that.
What's the deal with Beth Phoenix and all this? Could she get involved? I don't know what her contractual status is. Counteract Nick Wayne's mime, I'm thinking. Or just Nick Wayne, which would be funny.
I don't know. Actually, I've got any idea.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if she's under a Legends deal or if she just came in for one-offs all those times. I have no idea, but it's a good shout. She'd get a pop.
I've got to finish, but what if... Because I think it's fair to say Christian Cage has got a penchant for low blows, hasn't he, when he's in a bit of trouble. What if he goes to low blow Cope and he starts selling the foot, and not only does Copeland reveal he's wearing a cup, he's wearing a cup with spikes on it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's...
I mean, that's physically impossible.
Yeah, it's really unwieldy.
Can you imagine...
Well, walking down to the ring.
Can you imagine wrestling?
Like John Wayne.
What if you took, like, a face buster or something?
Okay.
When you're landing on, like, your torso as a bump, and the spike thing just comes loose.
Oh.
Rip your urethra off.
And, yeah, that's not the only huge match on tonight's show.
Nope.
Because... And I get why people are like, doesn't that make the other two belts look a bit crap? Because it's the whole Continental Crown. But maybe call me biased because of, I just love this version of Kazuchika Okada because I was apprehensive and sort of indifferent to him coming into AEW.
A lot of people
I was like, he's going to have great matches, which is so spoiled. He's going to have great matches.
Had them last year.
Yeah, we got them already. We got Ospreay, thanks.
And he's an awesome TV character.
He's coming
now.
In brilliantly aligned with the books. And that sort of works with his character to be like, not be the bel collector, but just be like, don't want that one, don't want that. I'll have that one, actually, though. You seem to really value that one. I want to take that one off you.
Yeah. There's got to be some kind of political deal here. I'm not touching that New Japan open weight strong title or whatever it's called with a barge pole.
Yeah.
It's not doing it. So maybe New Japan would be like, well, I don't know how acrimonious it was. Put it this way, it wasn't like the nicest split in the world.
Mm.
From the outside looking in, I'm not informed. I do not have any New Japan sources. But there wasn't a huge amount of ceremony surrounding his departure. I don't know what that relationship looks like. Maybe that has precluded him going for all three. This is at this point, it's Okada. He's an all-time great. I came up with my five best matches ever in response to the absolutely wonderful Frazier Cranium.
Yeah, I saw that tweet, yeah.
On Twitter yesterday. Okada's in three of them. And I wasn't excited about him being in AEW. No. I mean, that's how much he's been doing 40-minute matches forever and ever and ever and ever. As you say, as we've said, perfect reinvention is like a reversion, like reverting back to the pure Rainmaker dickhead character. I think he'd attained a level of respect to the point where it didn't really feel like he was that complete cocky arsehole anymore, but he's back. He's completely back. What I love about this is what a flex it would be if Okada, as I expect him to do, wins one third of a title everyone just thought was really unnecessary and just elevates
yeah.
it to become that 1A champion like Cassidy was last year. I firmly expect him to do it. I think he'll win this, and it's basically a case of history repeating himself with the Rainmaker shock of the first time.
Is that how many weeks has he been here? 3 weeks? 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be his third match, the first one, barely, first full debut match. I reckon he's going to do the Rainmaker shock. I mean, you can't beat him.
No, you can't lose.
You can't
exactly,
even do
yeah.
a draw. It would be a silly idea.
Two things. One I really hope happens, and one I expect to happen, really. Young Bucks on commentary.
Well, they can't be around the ring. Because it's under continental rules and no interference is in play.
But them on commentary would be...
That'd be great.
It'd be unbelievable.
Be great.
And I'm going to invoke Randy Orton here, but stay with me, okay? Because a lot of people talk about some of the best like RKO reversals, and they always mention the Evan Bourne one, for example, or the Seth Rollins one. I think one that doesn't get enough love is the Jeff Hardy twist of fate, both spin round, and then RKO out of nowhere. Has there ever been a better combo of finishers that fit together better than the Hurricane and the Rainmaker? Because they both, like, you'd spin into the... Like, I just thought of that. And I was like, you can do either. You can either do he's going for the
Ripcord.
Ripcord, yeah.
And then Hurricane.
Or he sets up for that and he goes, oh, thanks very much. Grab
your hand.
Boom.
Oh, my God. I hadn't thought about that. The only... What I can remember in recent memory, I was like so excited about how they would approach it, was the way in which, when it was Kenny Omega and Christian Cage in 2021, how the Unprettier is the perfect setup for the One Winged Angel.
Yes, yes.
And Christian likes that slipping out and doing like that backwards face buster. I don't know what it's called, but it was like, they had loads of moves that seemed to mesh wonderfully together, but I love that very, very much. And I also love the prospect of this match. I think this match has got an unbelievable ceiling. I mean, it's a Carter versus Eddie Kingston, of course it has, but it's not just a case of, oh, these two great wrestlers are in a match together, you'd expect it to be great, because after, as we all know, greatness echoes greatness.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
The contrast between the two characters is awesome. You've got this guy who has essentially been on an incredible contract for like 4 years. But because it's Eddie Kingston, you never associate. Oh, he's quite a, probably a wealthy enough guy now. You always just think of him.
He's on the bones of his arse.
Guy from Yonkers who's still scrapping for it. And even if he makes money, he would still be the same Eddie Kingston. You think anyway. You'd never know with any professional wrestler. And you've got the guy who's had to grind and grind and grind. And I hate this phrase, but it actually applies to Kingston. Scratch and claw, and he was denied, and he was denied, and he was passed over. And some of it was his doing. Some of it was just the incompetence and physique bias of a monopoly. He's finally made it, and he's got the character, and he's got the journey to show for it. Versus Okada, who in New Japan, when it counted, when he was a full-timer, has won the title on his first try. First try. And then never looked back and then became the record holder for the most defenses of the IWGP title, like the ace of the company, possibly beyond Inoki, the biggest ever star. So what a contrast that is in terms of their journeys and in terms of their characters and personalities and their traits and their qualities. Like the idea of Okada doing that. Gonna punch it. No. Just do a little slap of your chest. We were talking about Eddie Kingston's brilliant way of going through facial expressions and one thing leading to another is sarcasm and how it goes to anger. He would get like pretty sarcastic and angry, and then he could make mistakes, then he can get fired up. Like Okada could be like one of his best opponents in terms of getting that. Getting the Eddie Kingston out of Eddie Kingston, what he's great at, Okada's like the perfect foil, potentially. I don't want to get people too excited because I'm not sure how much time it's going to get, but this could be an unbelievable match.
And if Okada could get that out of Eddie Kingston, just think what he could get out of Zack Knight, you know, like the possibilities.
I'm going to execute you one of these days.
But what I was going to say is, because we
probably would have if Eric wasn't here.
Yeah, thanks. In terms of, we're kind of treading on our own dick for ladies' night, but it's just for fun today because there's no hand flirt. But one would assume that I Quit match, obviously, main events.
This has to open.
So this has to open, which I'm annoyed about because it makes complete sense. But then I want an Eddie Kingston promo. I want an Eddie Kingston. I'm not annoyed to have to do this. I'm pissed off. And I'm going to come out and I'm going to kick your ass, Okada.
Well, they could do some kind of special entrances where you don't just hear the coin drop to start the show. You could have like, it's Wednesday night, you know what I mean? And then Renee Paquette with one of them. And then Alex Marvez with the other.
Marvez with Okada.
Yes, because we can do more of that.
Yeah, more bullying.
Yeah, I love that. Do that and then the entrances.
Yeah, and I also want, I hate it normally, but I do like the idea of champ out first, because then you have Eddie Kingston making his Eddie Kingston entrance. Let's just get out there and let's have a fight and then have a Kevin Nash WCW entrance when he's fighting Hogan for the title, finger poker doom one, for Okada. Like, the Young Bucks on commentary going, it's a bit more of a star, really, isn't it? Because they've got all the pyro and you've got a special entrance way and what have you. But, yeah.
Oh, this should be incredible. You know, I've told you, I know when it's back when I start to worry about it not being back.
Yes.
That is how my mind works.
Or worry about time.
Yeah. If too much gets added on top of this, it's like, well, you've got to give time to this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not one of these people who necessarily thinks a long match automatically. It has to go past a certain minute mark for it to achieve great. I mean, Eddie Kingston versus CM Punk went 10 minutes. It's one of my favorite AEW matches. But, like, you want the sense of occasion here.
And not the pressure of, we need to get this fit, like when we're watching it, I mean, not in terms of them, but when we're watching, we need to get this finished because the only quit match is going to need a good half an hour entrances and all that.
To be
so
fair,
if you just start, like you do at the top of the second hour, I'm looking at the clock.
Through the great, the seminal, the great, the very good, the good, to the mid, to the brother, what's that? Every step of the way, AEW has very often had timing issues on Dynamite.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Speaking of, brother, Chris Jericho's in action.
Chris, what's that, brother?
Chris Jericho's fighting another popular star.
You're joking. Not another one?
He's teamed with Hook, but now he's got to feel like what it's like to be in there with him.
Why?
I don't know.
I had this thought in my head, and annoyingly, another semi-prominent Twitter user tweeted it. Great minds or whatever. His canonical gimmick slash character now, for whatever reason, he doesn't really pursue championships anymore. He doesn't, like, his character is to be a blood-sucking vampire.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why do you exist in this universe? I need to work out how good Hook is. Why? I just don't get it, and it's not good, and their chemistry in a tag team together was not good, which is very suboptimal considering I've been nicer to Jericho than most over the past 2 years. Still a great tag guy.
Oh, yeah.
But not anymore. So that sucked last week. I don't expect this to be particularly good neither. Chris Jericho, please go away. Chris Jericho, go away. Challenge impossible. I have no...
Certainly made people look a little bit stupid saying that he couldn't sing with that video. Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, he shut me up. That's for sure. I am not looking forward to this. I do not anticipate it being good.
Hook's meant to chuck you around like an empty tracksuit, in the words of Adam Nicholas.
Yeah, and Chris Jericho's big bumping days are behind him. He was never particularly fast or crisp or dynamic, even in his athletic prime. But yeah, I don't know what's going on here. I don't really care. I know that it will capital M, capital C, must continue after the fact. I don't care who wins. Winning won't matter for Hook because everyone beats Jericho. I do not care about the permutations of it. I don't care about the result. I have no expectations of the match quality. I do not want to see this. I am bored. I was going to tweet something, but like, you know, when you just think, you don't, this is so f***ing arrogant. I'm sorry, right? But you know, when you think of a tweet and you think, I actually expect that to get numbers, and I don't like getting numbers because you just draw the worst people.
I like the one you did the other day, pointing out the joke, kicking the man off the ramp stuff.
Yeah. Somebody else did that, but I quoted it.
Yeah.
But like, generally like, if you tweet something that's harsh and you think you're going to get numbers off it, is it worth getting the stands and mentions and all the rest of it? But you know that famous clip of Breaking Bad and Walter White saying, this whole thing, it's all about me. And I was going to caption it with Chris Jericho, when he sees a promising career blossoming.
That's a good tweet.
Because it's a good tweet. He would probably, if he was still active on it, say, go f*** your ass. But he's not as prominent on social media anymore, is he, is Mr. Chris?
No.
Why might that be?
I've just had a horrible feeling as well. We've just...
Because Jericho's wrestling.
Yeah, but we've just said... we just said...
Oh my god!
The Hurricane and the Rainmaker go together so nicely. I'm really worried now that I can't really be earlier on the card, I suppose, but they're going to do a Judas effect into Red Rum to completely undercut that. But I suppose Okada and Kingston will go first.
Yeah, and they'll do it miles better. And reversals happen in every match. Yeah, it's fine. What was I going to say? I had one more thing to say about this. Oh yeah, yeah, that cheeky bastard knows what he's doing. In Canada, innit?
I didn't think of that.
So you'll probably... Well, this is interesting. Because he got booed. Was it last week he got booed? I mean, he's not really been getting...
Yeah, he gets mixed.
He gets mixed reactions these days for reasons we've touched on. The extent to which he's a creep, basically, and how ambiguous that is. The extent to which he's a creep.
Yeah.
If he gets, what if he gets booed out of that bloody building? Toronto have booed their own before.
Yeah.
Toronto have booed your man in the main event, SummerSlam 2004. And they didn't, I don't think it was a personal thing of, oh, we hate you, hometown guy. It was, you're not really cracking it in this face role. Do something else.
Yeah.
So maybe Toronto will give the same message to Chris Jericho of, f*** off. F*** off.
Yeah.
For about 6 months. They might let him have it. It is, and then, oh my God, what if Excalibur, Oshimaru, well, there's Bizarro World here. You're not allowed to say that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, interesting. Oh, there's suddenly some juice.
Yeah.
And Lion Hook explode.
Yeah, my concern is they do.
Concern is that he gets cheered.
And they get, you've earned my respect, so let's enter the tag tournament together. I don't know. The brackets have already been sorted.
Oh, they have?
Yeah.
Brackets have been sorted. It's full. Leicester. No room for the BCC, which is stupid, but also no room for the Hardy Boys. Oh, yeah. Is AEW back? Or is it not? Because I remember, like, the road to Revolution was bogged down by multiple singles Jeff Hardy matches. If I'm going to be fair, fair is fair. He was over, and the matches were way more respectable than I thought, like against Darby, Swerve, and Mox. Nothing I would ever... go out your way to see, or that I thought I was blown away by, but by his standards, they were respectable. And the whole idea was after those matches, babyface, or situational babyface, or babyface leaning, or popular, or whatever, handshake, and then Jeff Hardy instead of it, put his, hey man, I've just met these two birds from the bird dimension and I'm going to flip them and say, f*** you, man. That was the character arc, wasn't it? And it's like, all right, okay, so the Hardys are turning heel. And guess what? They have gone away.
Yeah.
Hopefully forever.
To Monday Night Raw.
Oh my God. No one, like, you can't give Jeff Hardy another job. It's one thing to give his useless brother one. But the talented one who's, you know, unreliable.
I think Jericho can afford to lose this because, yeah, Hook can get the better of Jericho or even Lionheart Chris Jericho, but an intergalactic serial killer who can't feel love, that could, you know, that's pay-per-view worthy. Hook has to win, for God's sake.
Well, you'll win at the end because Jericho always loses his programs.
Mm-hmm. And look what he does for people like Action Andre. Right, moving on.
Oh, that's harsh. What about Ricky?
Hang on, wait a second.
Orange, what about Eddie?
Orange Cassidy? No, he was already.
He was already on the way to getting
some shine off him, if anything.
Eddie didn't recover from that for a good few months. The thing is, though, Chris Jericho, I don't want to, you know, go on a big macro discussion about Chris Jericho. For the first 6 months, he was fundamental in establishing Dynamite. It's this worthwhile, legitimate, and incredibly entertaining concern. 6 months. And then he had some peaks after the fact.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Anarchy in the Arena. He had the Kingston match. He's had the Ishii match. He's had certain peaks. He did way more for that title, that world title, than he's done for any of these young, unproven opponents. Because even the ones where you can say, the nicest thing you can say about one of these Chris Jericho feuds, other than the Cody stuff, which was great, genuinely great, beginning to end.
Yeah.
The nicest thing you could say was they didn't come out any worse.
Yeah.
Not any better.
No.
But not any worse. MJF, Orange Cassidy. Mm-hmm. Like, Cody versus Darby is the example. Look at what Cody did for Darby. Yeah,
exactly.
Has Jericho done that for anyone?
Not for me, like, anyone.
But then again, he's done it for the title. For the sake of balance.
I genuinely thought for a split second that he said the most, you thought you were going to say the most he's done for that title is when he lost it. But
he was great as Le Champion.
When he did the.
And then he almost became.
In the tub.
Yeah, and he almost came Le Double Champion as well.
Yes. He became the Ocho. Let's not forget.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about. That's the last swear, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. Moving on, Michael Sidgwick. 1 month today, two big things happen.
Oh,
1 month today. It is 4:20, which means, of course,
stoned already.
And also,
he's from the West Country. This guy, I just have lost the accent.
Also, 1 month today, Chesterfield will lift the National League title. But 1 month tomorrow is AEW Dynasty.
Okay, this Chesterfield thing.
Yes.
I think if it was Newcastle in this position, where you literally need one more point. In for the teams below you to win everything.
Barnet, the only team who can catch us.
And they need to win everything, and you need to not get... If it was Newcastle, I would still be anxious about it.
I'm quietly confident.
Yeah, it would be.
If it was 3 points, but 1 point, considering the fixtures they have and what we have, I think we might be all right. But yeah, 1 month tomorrow is AEW Dynasty. Do you see more stuff with Joe and Swerve on tonight's show? And where on earth does Wardlow go from last week?
WWE.
I thought you were going to say that.
WWE on New Japan.
Just bin him off and get Kyle O'Reilly on Undisputed Kingdom.
Yeah. I mean, kind of, I want to like Kyle O'Reilly. I don't know. Well, look, WWE or a New Japan excursion, or, you know, he could go to TNA or something.
Yeah. He'd be a monster in TNA.
Yeah. Like, there are options. These, you're not meant to be in it that long. And we talk about John Moxley being a little bit. Could live without him for a few months, you know? It's not just Wardlow. We're not trying to, you know, single a mood. Swerve and Joe, it's one of those where, what do you do? How do you do it? Mm. Because they've established that that's the match. I don't know if it's official.
It's not Wikipedia official, I'll tell you
that. Yeah, but, I mean, it's all but happening.
Yeah.
Do you... Because at the minute, like, it's the personal, the grudge, the emotion... was wrapped around Swerve and Hangman, and now Hangman's having the hiatus.
And last week's thing of Swerve just coming out to chin Samoa Joe with a chain, I mean, I know he choked him out the week before. This feels pretty standard, take it in turns to beat each other up stuff to establish a grudge. Not enough for me yet, to get really deeply invested. Yeah, you've taken turns chinning each other, but that's just a wrestling storyline. That is the pattern of a wrestling storyline.
It's almost like they've gone, I mean, we're never topping Ospreay Danielson at that show, so there's not much point really investing in the story.
I mean, they've got 4 weeks. I don't know what you do to make it really personal. Any ideas? I'm not a booker.
Yeah, you're right. Because they've been, you know, going back and forth for so long. And
it's a formality, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the Chesterfield winning the National League trophy. A title, is it?
Yeah.
The trophy's the cup.
I suppose we'll get a trophy for that and stuff. I've already organised the night out in town after the final day of the season. And if anyone's got tickets for the Maidenhead United game, please do get in touch. Because
it's a sellout?
Sellout, yeah. I'm trying to pull some strings to get there. Because
get in touch.
Yeah, absolute beg.
Get in touch. How'd you do it? So they've already established, we kind of hate each other now. It was business. It's getting a bit personal. Oh, you're beating me up, or I'll come after you with a chain.
That's where we've got to lean more babyface as we go forward as well.
Yeah, but people like Joe. That's another problem with this, is you've got two guys who realistically have been playing heel for longer than babyface. They just happen to be really cool and liked by the audience. So that limits your scope in terms of a better dynamic. I don't know. It's kind of an unenviable task, this, because the character alignments don't really lend themselves to a classic pro wrestling story. They are now trying to maybe overcorrect on the idea that, well, it was between the real beef, the heat, the conflict was between Swerve and Hangman. So now Swerve and Joe are just beating each other up. A bit uninspiring, to be perfectly honest. I'm just ready for the pay-per-view. Mm. Less than ideal, considering it's ages away.
If you eat these vegetables, you can have the steak afterwards, okay? Do you think there's going to be a follow-up with the Bang Bang Scissor Gang tonight? Obviously, Darby Allin injury last week, the seeming split of that group.
I was thinking there's 4 matches announced thus far. You'd expect two of them.
You can anticipate, yeah.
You'd expect two of them to get some decent amount of time. It's a space for a fifth, probably. I would like to see the Bucks versus Private Party. That's one of the brackets for the tournament. And again, you've got plenty of time to do it, I guess. So even if it's just a backstage thing of the Acclaimed vowing revenge, I just want it over and done with, personally. Over and bloody done with.
Or just a
I want to see Jay White as a singles.
I suppose you might get a fairly decent bit of heat if Jay White's out there like, ah, Darby Allin, good luck with that Everest trip.
In fact, you really should.
Not happening yet, obviously.
Now that I come to think of it, you should have Jay White in that building.
I'd get some good heat, that.
Yeah.
Have the guns dressed in all like climbing gear, Everest, you know, big parkas and stuff.
I thought to take the piss.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Because they're good at doing that, you know, that sort of thing. And Jay White just boasting about.
Yeah, they should.
Because it's a horrific image, that X-ray. Put that on a T-shirt.
Jay White can wear that T-shirt. They can dress up with the parkas and the mountaineering equipment. You can tell you're a WWE fan, but on this occasion, okay, I do think it's... I think it's worthy of the fist bump.
Oh, thanks, mate. Just call me Butter Baby. I want to roll. Let's talk Mercedes Moné.
Where are your manners?
Mercedes
Moné. Moné.
Still miss that. What's next?
They should do a mashup of CEO, CEO, Moné, CEO, Moné.
You could do... Hang on. Let's see if this works.
Moné.
CEO. CEO
Money.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
Oh,
there you go, Mikey Ruckus. You're welcome.
What can I say?
He's quite talented. I know the answer to this, but I'm gonna ask it anyway. What is next for? We're gonna hear from her tonight for Mercedes.
Yeah. Said last week that it was really good.
the next few steps feel fairly obvious. And I said, I don't know why I've brought in Peppermint to do a Tony Khan device of they're going to team together, but guess what? All's not well. Mm. All is not well in that dynamic, and they'll probably have a match subsequent to them teaming. It happens all the time. It's a Tony Khan device. It doesn't feel like... I don't know. Now that the incredible noise in Boston has quietened and you can get away from the rush of it and start to be boring and pick it apart, is it a bit uninspiring? It's because it's a difficult... I think I said this on the preview when we anticipated, yeah, she'll probably debut in and around Willow or interact with Willow in some way. Like Willow Nightingale didn't injure her. It was like a mistake.
Yes, this wasn't...
It was something went awry and Willow Nightingale never turned heel to capitalize on it or even mentioned it after the fact, a la Drew and CM Punk.
Yes.
So it feels like a loose end that did not need tying up. It feels like if
Money
is going to be the baby face, kind of splitting the difference. People aren't going to want to boo Willow. And you can do a baby face versus baby face match. I don't know. And I suppose there is all the time in the world to do grudge programs and title programs. And we've literally just been here with Will Ospreay of, oh yeah, these, you know, these five-star matches are great. but when's...
Not for everyone.
When's it going to get... Yeah. When's it going to get serious? All right. Fourth appearance after the full debut. He threatens to hit Crying Brian with his head injuries with a Stormbreaker. I'm just going to be patient. I will be patient. Tonight, she'll maybe get attacked by Hart and Sky Blue. Willow will make the save, and then they'll set up a match. Oh, did they save the first one for Dynasty?
I was gonna
following the beats of the first dance.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, maybe the way they do it is you get a tag, you get the Willow tag against Hart and Sky Blue on the road to, but the first singles match is Julia Hart and Mercedes for the title at Dynasty.
Potentially. But the thing is, right, is Mercedes
Money
is very intelligent, very savvy. She knows how to present herself as a star. Isn't it a better idea for her to have her first match on Dynasty when you can do that big swooping shot of a mostly full or very, very respectable crowd? Because if she has this sort of... Sometimes Dynamite looks like the Capitol Wrestling Center with some of these gates, and I know there are improvements.
Yeah, trending in the right direction.
Yeah, but if she... What's next week's looking like? I think it's another 3,000er. If I'm Mercedes Money, I'm thinking I'll have to wallow in it at some point, but for my first in-ring appearance...
Especially this time of year.
Yeah, my first in-ring appearance kind of should look big. It should look big, so... Mm. I am interested. I'm not interested. And I'm very trusting of the process these days. But if I'm her, I'm waiting till the pay.
Yes. Sorry, just let me just check my...
Okay.
Just the one women's match on the card for now, at least. I've got something I want to say about this.
Righteous over here.
But, I got wound up a little bit by some of the online discussion, surprise, surprise, around AEW.
I don't.
In the last, I know, I should just...
I'm guilty as anyone.
Yeah.
I do try hard not to get in the muck.
I think it's partially because we've been on this campaign for so bloody long. And, you know, people say, oh, should they make Rampage a women's only show? And it's like, well, that would have been a nice thing to do when Rampage first started or when it was doing big numbers.
Yeah.
Now it feels like... You've already sandbagged the women on multiple occasions of like, all right, okay, go out and follow that match. Go on.
Yeah.
Oh, you've died on your ass. Well, that must be because you're not very good and not because this crowd is exhausted after a five-star classic or whatever. Yeah, giving them Rampage now is a bit like, hey, guys, we're going to do a women's only wrestling show because we are progressive. It's only going to be on YouTube. There's that. But we've got Toni Storm and Mariah May versus Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo tonight. And what I was going to say about this, Sige, is We're going to do, you know, just a fun guess of when this is going to go in the show. But I do hope that despite people saying, oh, look at that Willow and Riho's number that they did in the main event last week, they are, the women's division getting pushed is already finished outside of Mercedes Moné and Tony and
Moné.
But what I want to see is...
What's the way she says it?
Moné.
What I want to see is a bit of confidence. So, yes, Okada Kingston probably opens. Yes, Cage Copeland probably main events. And in all likelihood, Chris Jericho starts the second hour. But I want to see him some investment. I want to say, no. No one cares about you, Chris Jericho, right now.
Moné might be in the middle of hour.
We could do
the
that.
Middle of hour?
The top of the second hour. And have that be like, and we've got Tony Storm and Deonna and Thunder Rosa and, you know, Mariah May. I'd like to see that at the top of the second hour, for example. Where do you think this is going to go and what do you think is going to happen in the match?
I Quit Main Event, Kingston Okada opener. I think that Jericho will go on second. Yeah, I think this will go 1 hour, 21 minutes. After Mercedes at the top of the hour.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's just for fun, of course. But thanks, as always, to at Adam Wilton for Adam Blair and Jose Palomares at the Ho 11 on X. Because, well, why...
What
why
do they take care of?
They take care of the...
data.
Thank you. But what? Why do we play this game? And we've sort of done this the wrong way around. But before we get to the name of the game, what was the aim of the game?
The aim of the game is to identify to the hour, minute, and second the first time to the second that you hear the first note of the first entrance theme for the first woman to make her entrance for the only women's match on Dynamite. Because, you know, every other week it kind of settles around the same time. And you think... When do they do that? Well, here's the answer to that question. They do it because you kind of bloody have to these days. And that is the thought process that has filtered into the product, into the atmosphere for 5 years now, pretty much. We kind of bloody have to do it. You can't not do it these days. And we just want to put in bold, underline, italicize this mentality, this thought process. And if you want to jingleize AEW's thought process of why they do these things and why it's so apathetic and token and obligatory, the jingle, easy to remember, is when the women, don't worry guys, when the women come out to play, the main event ain't too far away. Get to the bloke soon enough. Get to the important men soon enough. And that's the aim of the game. And the name of the game is, well, this is Ladies' Night, and I'm thinking, oh, what a night.
So you're going, what?
I never, ever, like, think ahead of the podcast, what's your remix this week? I just do things.
That's generally what I do on the pods, my nose. So what are you going for, 124? Just for fun this week.
121. 121.3.
I'm gonna say... More in hope than expectation. Mercedes
Moné
comes out.
I'm good on my phone to write these down. I'm not being
comes out at 59 minutes of the show. To because there's a way
that's
that,
the match we're talking about, brother.
Yeah.
What did I say? 121.3.
Yes. Comes out to establish that she's going to tag with Willow or whatever against Hart and Sky Blue, and maybe you have that established, and we get just a glimpse. Of a passing of, no, a crossing of paths.
Yes.
Between
Moné
and Timeless Tony Storm.
Toneless Timey Storm.
Yes. So I'm going to go 1 hour, 9 minutes. Mm. Some smart people might work out what I'm alluding to as well there. Sex thing. So I'll go 1 hour, 9 minutes. Dead, please. But just for fun this week.
Hamlet sent us a message. And it's 2 seconds. Let me get it. Go back to WhatsApp because no one uses text message. Hamlet says, I'm a big stupid WWE mark.
Oh, wow.
Well, he admits it.
And I think this is going to main event. But I'm really genuinely looking forward to tonight's show. And do let us know your thoughts on how this goes. And some preposterous spots that you've got suggested for the I Quit match on X at What Culture WWE. What should they? Oh, I'm doing this and I've realized I forgot to ask you who wins Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo versus Tony Storm and Mariah May.
Mariah May takes a pin.
Yeah. So you get a little sideways glance from Tony Storm, like, especially because she's going to be Tony Storm there, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know whether Thunder Rosa gets the win, because arguably, if we're saying...
But Deonna's... Or you could have Thunder Rosa steal the pin or something.
I'm just thinking, yeah, you're not going to... Well, you shouldn't really, nothing against Deonna, have another title match, Tony Storm versus Deonna at the Pape. So if Thunder Rosa gets the win, I don't think she's going to win the title from Tony Storm. I don't think arguably anyone should until Mercedes faces her.
Money.
Thank you. But it's not a obligatory, you're going to defend the title against this person. Thunder Rosa's got a legitimate claim. She never lost that title. I like that as a build to, I've beaten you, i.e. she's pinned the Tony Storm that Mariah May's playing.
So if Thunder gets the fall, then she can say, oh well, could be me next. I've beaten... Ah, Tony Storm.
And then the better version of Tony Storm.
And Deonna could then say, well, she cheated. The referee's decision's final. Either way, there's things they could do here. Enough that I would hope there could be some drama. Thunder Rosa hasn't, for me, recaptured a 2020-2021 form yet, but it was a long, long injury, so hoping for a good night for her.
Yeah,
and Mariah May I've been super impressed with
in
every area of her ability in her presentation. In-ring, as well. Deonna, I don't think, has been that good, ultimately, if you stack up all the evidence. So, but I think there's more than enough talent in that ring for this to be good.
Absolutely. Let us know your thoughts on X at What Culture WWE. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcast from for daily wrestling podcasts. Me and Sid will be back later on today to review NXT. And we'll all be back tomorrow to review AEW Dynamite. But for now, this has been the Dynamite Preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.